And welcome to Chapel PCA this morning. We're so glad you are with us on this beautiful Lord's Day morning. A number of announcements this morning, so I'm going to get right to them. Of course, if you read your bulletin, you will see them yourself. Tonight, Rocksteady is meeting. There is a summer chill tonight here at the church at 6:30. If you're new to Chapel, Rocksteady is the youth group, and summer chill means they're going to get together here at the church. All right. A new Sunday school series is starting this morning for adults in here. Tom's starting a new series on Brian Chappell's book, Are We Living in the Last Days? There was an email about this week. Dylan Shearer has concluded his official Sunday school series on trauma, but he's making himself available after the service during the Sunday school hour to talk further. There's details about that starting next week. There's details about that in the bulletin. And as I said, there was an email. The Washington Wild Things game is finally here. It's this week. Notice the note on this in your bulletin. I would point out, it says, the bus will be leaving the parking lot here, keyword, promptly at 5 p.m. And when I first read that, I thought, well, Jack wrote this, so that. And Jack asked me to emphasize promptly. He says, not 5 according to chapel time, 5 according to Jack time. 5, don't be pulling in, because that's when the bus will be pulling out, waving bye-bye. That's what he added. So 5 o'clock p.m., don't miss the bus. It'll be a great time. Greg Mead will be installed. Here is our assistant pastor. August 31st, I'm pointing this out. Yay. He really did amazing on the presbytery floor. I was in awe. The time for our service has changed, though. It is 5 p.m. on August 31st, so we're pointing it out. So many things to point out. I was noted this week, this coming week, the carpets are going to be cleaned throughout the church. So we're asking, after Sunday school, if we all could help stack chairs, get them out of the way here and in the back room. Wherever Zach is, Zach told me that he's going to lock the church until everybody helps move the chairs out. Nobody's allowed to leave. That's on Zach. The Warm Springs team, I think, is in the air coming from Chicago to here. They are. They're supposed to land around 10, so maybe before the service is out, we'll receive a note that they're safely on the ground here. It seems they had a wonderful week. We're excited to hear all that the Lord's done. And Mike, you have a quick announcement for the men.
Good morning. Just wanted to provide a brief update on men's ministry. The members of the committee are Stephen Fry, Josh Echo, myself, and then we do have Greg Mead coming on to help us out and provide some pastoral oversight, so we're looking forward to that. As far as get-togethers, so we have 3 a year. First one is the men's weekend in end of February, so we're looking forward to having that again this coming February. We just had, we're going to try to have something late spring, early summer. We had a golf outing, so that was a good time. And this fall, we're looking at a Friday in October to have an indoor cornhole tournament. We've done that a couple years now, so we're going to do that again. And then the core of the men's ministry is the journey groups. So we recently finished the 2-year cycle, so we're going to start a new one. So we have been, you guys have been receiving the announcements to sign up for that. So we've had a good response so far, so keep it up. Reminder, even if you were previously in a group, you still need to sign up again, because as much as possible, we're going to try to reshuffle groups, hopefully get in some new faces as well. And if, you were previously in a group and really want to stay in that group, in the signups, there's a spot where you can let us know that, because I know at least we're going to have one group that's staying together. So we are very aware of that. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks for your work. Last official announcement, as you see, this morning is the Lord's Supper, as we indicated last week. As we read the Bible, We believe, as we read the Bible, it makes clear that it's not for everyone when it's offered. So should you take the Lord's Supper? Should I take the Lord's Supper? Tom will speak more on this later, but there, in their bulletin, there are two diagnostic questions we believe are very scriptural as to whether or not you should take them. So do see those and reflect on those. In our text today, in the Gospel of Luke that Tom's going to preach on, I find it kind of heartbreaking. John the Baptist, of all people. John the Baptist finds himself in a hard place. Things aren't turning out the way he thought they would. And he is wondering if Jesus really is the one. John the Baptist. But Jesus meets him where he is, at least in conversation. So to begin to prepare our hearts and minds as Sue enters us into worship with her music, one verse from Matthew 11, very famous. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." May this shape our hearts and minds. Amen. Thank you, Sue. God's word, God's very words call us to worship. So if you are able, would you please stand? And calling us to worship is Psalm 98. We'll read it together. Let's read together. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. I will ask you to pray with me as we invoke the Lord's name and presence. After this short prayer, I will call all of us to pray the Lord's Prayer together, and it will be on the screen. Pray with me. Our Father, our Son, and our Holy Spirit, we have come to sing, to pray, to give, and to grow. This is good and right, for you are marvelous, and you have done marvelous things. Your power is great, your mercy is good, and your blessings are our life. May our worship be pleasing to you, and may you be honored for all of our days. We join with your disciples in praying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen indeed. Let's sing.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels
Famous words of our Lord from John 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
What love can remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood in the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Later from John 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Delight to bring Him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to Him, where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, one heart, one voice, so Church of Christ rejoice. Come those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come those who tell of battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For His perfect love will never change, and His mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days to the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, one heart, one voice, so Church of Christ rejoice. Come young and old from every land, men and women of the faith. Come those with full or empty hands, find the riches of His grace. Over all the world His people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that cries through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, one heart, one voice, so Church of Christ rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice, one heart, one voice, so Church of Christ rejoice. Oh, Church of Christ rejoice. Oh, Church of Christ rejoice.
And all God's people said together, amen. You may be seated. We now turn to our time of giving back to God. portion of what he has given to us. With that in mind, let's prepare. One verse from Isaiah 45. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. I, the Lord, have created it. This is why we give. The unfolding, the bursting forth of God's kingdom. Let's give back to God.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we lift our voices to you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the grace. We thank you for the love. We thank you for the truth that you provide to us. We thank you that you provide all our needs, more than we can ever imagine, O Lord. We pray that what we have given back to this church today can be used for your kingdom here at Chapel, and in Beaver County, and throughout the world. We thank you for thy blessings. We thank you for the grace that you provide to us throughout the day and throughout our lives. Today, we lift up Bruce and Pat, who minister in France and North Africa. We thank you for their work among the Muslims. We pray for the conversion of those people who don't know Jesus. We thank you for their work among the Berbers in North Africa. We thank you that we've heard that they've been able to put various Bible translations into their languages on tape so that they can hear the word. We ask you to be with them as they continue to expand their kingdom and their work in those areas. But most of all, protect them. It's a very difficult time to live in France in a hostile environment where you know Christ. So just comfort and be with them, O Lord. We also lift up the center in Midland. We thank you for the work of Jen Miller and for all those who minister there to their after-school programs. We give them praise and excitement that they have just been approved to hire a new staff member full-time with their various ministry programs. So as they expand in that area and they continue to grow and they have more children coming, we give you thanks that they can praise, they can spread the word of Jesus Christ, the Lord. And we thank you for that. So we thank you for the ministers and ministries throughout the world, for our missionaries. Be with them. Thank you for their blessings. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remain standing for our song of preparation.
Jesus said that if I thirst, I should come to him. No one else can satisfy, I should come to him. Jesus said if I am weak, I should come to him. No one else can be my strength, I should come to him. For the Lord is good and faithful, he will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. Jesus said that if I fear, I should come to him. No one else can be my shield, I should come to him. For the Lord is good and faithful, he will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. Jesus said, if I am lost, he will come to me. And he showed me on that cross, he will come to me. For the Lord is good and faithful, he will keep us day and night. Always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. For the Lord is good and faithful, he will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. Jesus strong and kind.
Please pray with me. O Lord, the psalmist said, this blessing has fallen to me that I keep your precepts. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what a blessing that you have revealed yourself in your written word, and in the living word, Jesus Christ. Help us to follow your will and your ways. We pray in his name. Amen. Please be seated. morning, I'll ask you to join me again in the Gospel of Luke. This time, Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 23. Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 23. In this portion of the Gospel of Luke, people are meeting Jesus. Last week we read a very simple story. The next few scenes are not so simple, but God will guide us. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 18. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." I didn't think I could hear myself very well. Really. That should work. How's that? Is that better? Can you hear me? All right. Yeah, there was static. I didn't notice that. I just couldn't hear myself. Oh, well. You know, if you think about it, relationships are all about expectations. Relationships are all about expectations. In marriage, a wife may expect her husband to fix things, to listen to her, and to help with the children. The husband may expect the wife to care for the home, to support his leadership, and to manage his parents. In friendship, one friend may expect the other friend to help with practical issues, while the other friend may expect the other friend to help with emotional struggles. In the workplace, a manager may expect the team to work late into the evening, and the team may expect the manager to listen to their complaints. In commerce, you may expect the checkout clerk to be polite to you, and the checkout clerk may expect you to be polite to them. In the church, you may expect people to care for you, and they may expect you to care for them. What is common with all of these relationships and all of our relationships? If expectations are not met, all is not well. But if expectations are met, all is well. The next section of Luke's gospel, I believe, leads us to consider this question of expectations. John has proclaimed the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah has come, and yet people have different expectations, partly for John, but especially for Jesus. We all have expectations for Jesus. What if Jesus doesn't meet your expectations? Today we learn of John's expectations for Jesus. We read of John's struggle, Jesus' answer, and Jesus' call. So John's disciples tell John what Jesus is doing, and John sends two of his disciples to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" John is clearly unclear about Jesus. Jesus may not be meeting his expectations. What's the nature of John's struggle? Is this a personal struggle? Consider John's situation. He has spoken the truth to Herod about his adultery, and Herod has responded by tossing him into prison. This final Old Testament prophet, who wears the sandals, we might say, of Elijah, has faithfully heralded the coming of the Messiah. He has rightfully chastised a Roman leader, and now look where he is. John's personal struggle could be sadness. We would certainly understand if John was walking through what we would call a dark night of the soul. John's personal struggle could be fear. He may wonder, will I ever get out of this prison? This personal struggle could be aggravation. Jesus, look at me here. Are you really the person that I thought you were? Pastor and author Tim Keller tells the story of the British explorer Ernest Shackleton, who in 1914, he and his team tried to walk across Antarctica and make it to the South Pole. They were soon fighting for their lives in the dark, because at that time of the year in Antarctica, it is completely dark between mid-May and late July. And Keller wrote, in such deep darkness, you can't see forward, so you don't know where you're going. You have no direction. You can't even see yourself. You don't know what you look like, and you can't tell whether there is anyone around you, friend or foe. You are isolated. And so in the darkness of isolation, in prison, John may be facing struggles like sadness and fear and aggravation, and maybe all of them. Is this a personal struggle? Is this a theological struggle? You know, we do theology when we consider who God is and what he has done. John knows God has sent Jesus, but what is God doing with Jesus? Some students of the scene believe John may simply be confused by what he is seeing from Jesus. He's confused about Jesus' identity and mission. John has heralded the coming of the Messiah, and like everyone else, he had certain expectations of the Messiah. Now, John's theological struggle may be headed in one particular direction. Remember how John spoke to the crowds who came to him? He often talked about repentance. Repentance from your sins and judgment for those sins. The core of his message was, repent of your sins or you will face the judgment of God. But what's Jesus doing? Leon Morris says it this way, John had prophesied that the coming one would do some striking works of judgment, but Jesus was doing nothing of the sort. He was engrossed in works of mercy. Would somebody else then come and do those works of judgment? I've always remembered the words of the writer Donald Miller. He once said, I can no more understand the totality of God than the pancake I made for breakfast understands the complexity of me. John considers God and his deeds. He may feel about as smart as a pancake. He doesn't like it. Sadness and fear and aggravation and confusion. All of these thoughts may be whirling around in John's head as he sits isolated in prison. All these emotions and thoughts may be whirling around in your head as you journey through this life in a world of sin and death. Perhaps Jesus isn't meeting John's expectations. And perhaps Jesus isn't meeting your expectations. Well, John's struggle leads to Jesus' answer. John asks, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? God has promised a Messiah. John is sure the Messiah will come. He just isn't sure whether Jesus is the Messiah. And Jesus' answer guides us in two ways. One describes Jesus' ministry today, and the other hints at Jesus' activity tomorrow. What is Jesus' ministry today? Well, the first part of his answer reveals Jesus' mercy of today. It's mercy. Jesus is healing people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. He's giving sight to the blind. Then he says to John's disciples, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And this is a ministry of mercy. Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. His words especially remind us of a couple of portions of Isaiah. Listen to them. Part of Isaiah 35. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Listen to part of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Jesus has come to show mercy in this hurting world. In his compassion, he has set his eyes and his heart upon the hurting. He wants to demonstrate the reality and the beauty of his mercy in the hearts and the lives of hurting people. We've seen it in Luke's gospel already. Jesus is especially determined to bring mercy to people we are tempted to ignore, people we are tempted to dismiss. He blesses the poor, the hungry, the weeping, and the persecuted. To the hurting, he brings healing. To the lacking, he brings provision. To the weeping, he brings joy. To the suffering, he brings comfort. That is the mercy of today. And yet Jesus' answer also directs us to the judgment of tomorrow. Did you really listen to those words in Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61? They weren't all about mercy. Isaiah 35, behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. Isaiah 61, to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. Jesus spoke of coming judgments. One way to illustrate it is to use the verse that we used earlier in the service, the verse that you know so well, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But read on. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Today is the day of mercy, but tomorrow will be the day of judgment. The theologian B.B. Warfield said it so well. He said, compassion and indignation arise together in his soul. Compassion and indignation arise together in Jesus' soul. John expects Jesus to bring judgment, and Jesus will bring judgment, but it will not happen according to John's expectations. He expects immediate judgment. And yet Jesus has come to bring mercy now. And he will bring judgment later. He will show compassion now, just with hints of indignation now. Yet indignation will come later when he comes to judge the living and the dead. I don't think Jesus' answer is a rebuke of John. I don't even think it's a criticism of John. It's an explanation of what John has already seen and what his disciples have seen. Again, John sees lots of mercy and he sees very little judgment. But while Jesus may not fulfill John's expectations now, he will fulfill them later when he comes again in judgment. So that's Jesus' answer. So we hear of John's struggle, we read Jesus' answer, and then we hear Jesus' call. It's short but powerful. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. He now speaks directly to your heart and life and to my heart and life. And he raises the issues of offense and acceptance. What is this offense? The word translated offense refers to a snare or to a stumbling block. A snare is something that slows you down. You're walking along and something gets wrapped around your ankle and hinders you from continuing to walk. A stumbling block upends you. You're walking along and you trip and you fall. So you may be walking toward faith in Jesus, but something slows you, something upends you. Instead of believing in Jesus, you're offended by Jesus. Again, this is Old Testament language. This is an image both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Listen again to the scriptures. Isaiah 8. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he will be a sanctuary and a stone of offense. And a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. People will be offended by the Lord of hosts. How much more will they be offended by his Son? For a New Testament example, think of 1 Peter 2. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Jesus. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Why would you be offended by Jesus? Why would Jesus be a snare to you? Why would you stumble over Jesus? Perhaps because he has not met your expectations. And perhaps those expectations surround these issues of mercy and judgment. You might be offended by Jesus because you want mercy and nothing but mercy. This is how this mercy works out in your mind. You believe Jesus should do whatever you want him to do. He must take away all your suffering. He must secure all your hopes and dreams. If he does not meet your expectations, you will be disappointed in him and distant from him because you want nothing to do with this one who will not give you the mercy you think you deserve. Yet if you think like that, and if you respond to Jesus like that, you don't understand mercy. You don't understand what mercy is. Mercy is always a blessing you don't deserve and cannot demand. Mercy is always a blessing you don't deserve and cannot demand. As a sinner before a holy God, you have no right to demand anything from him. Jesus' mercy is a gift he chooses to give to people. Oh, he may take away suffering. He may fulfill hopes and dreams. He may bless you richly, but you have no right to expect it, much less demand it. He is the Son of God, not a vending machine. If you receive his mercy, it is because he desires it, not because you or I deserve it. C.S. Lewis once used the image of a greenhouse. Why does a greenhouse become bright in the light of the sun? Is it because it's bright on its own? No. The greenhouse becomes bright when the sun shines its light into it. In the same way, you don't receive God's love and mercy because you are good or because you are bright. You receive it because he chooses to shine it into your heart and life. If you expect mercy from Jesus, you will demand mercy from Jesus. And if you demand mercy from Jesus, he will not meet your expectations. He will disappoint you. He may become a snare to you. You may stumble over him. You may be offended by him. On the other hand, you may be offended by Jesus because you want not mercy, but judgment. Now, you don't want judgment for yourself. You want judgment for other people. After all, we live in an angry culture. You're angry about much of what you see. And sometimes this anger is righteous. Yet anger quickly morphs into self-righteousness. And self-righteousness quickly separates you from all those sinners out there and leads you to demand God's judgment upon everyone who isn't as good as you are. I once read about a man named Mike Carmichael. Mike Carmichael lived in Alexandria, Indiana, and he didn't have anything to do, better to do with himself one day, so he decided to go out into his garage and paint a baseball. And he kept painting. He painted coat after coat after coat on this baseball. He painted this baseball coat after coat for 27 years. After all that time with all those coats, the ball weighed over half a ton. Mike would take his ball to the county fair. What an image for the anger and the bitterness that can fill our souls. We see the problems in our world. We know the people in our lives, and we want judgment. Well, God is a God of judgment, but Jesus will judge in his time, and he will judge in his way. And if you live with a weighty ball of anger and bitterness, that will lead you to a heavy desire for all judgment all right now. And you know what? Jesus may not meet your expectations. He will offend you. He will become a snare to you. You will stumble over him. Why would you be offended by Jesus? How has he not met your expectations? He's perfect in mercy. He's perfect in judgment. And so Jesus' words call you away from offense, and they call you to acceptance. Acceptance. Listen again to verse 23. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Some are not offended by Jesus, and they're blessed. You're blessed when you accept Jesus as he is and not as you want him to be. You are blessed when you accept Jesus as he is and not as you want him to be. Whether your struggles are personal or whether your struggles are theological, he calls you to accept him in all of his mercy and in all of his judgments. And he says, when you accept him, you will be blessed. This acceptance is both one time and for all time. It's one time. A time must come when you stop expecting Jesus to be what you want him to be. And you resolve to follow and to trust him as he is. You confess your sins to him. You turn in faith to him to forgive your sins through his death on the cross. You pledge to live for him whether or not he meets your expectations. This is true one time, but it's also true for all time. You journey through this life, Christian. You journey through this life with faith in Jesus, and sometimes he does not meet your expectations, but you still trust him. Sometimes his mercy does not come as you desire. Often his justice will await the life to come. The lifelong journey of faith is a journey of accepting Jesus as he is, not as you want him to be. Yet I have good and great news. As you accept Jesus as he is, he meets you in your sadness and in your fear. And in your aggravation, and in your confusion, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Beneath the burdens of this life, you rest in him. You will often know his mercy. You will sometimes see his judgment. He will not always meet your expectations, but he always met the expectations of his Father in his life and in his death and in his resurrection and now in his reign. So that means you can trust him and rest in him whether or not he meets your expectations. The pastor and hymn writer John Newton once celebrated Jesus with a series of images. Newton said, Jesus is the healer for our every wound. He is the comfort for our every care. He is an ointment, sending his fragrance through our hearts and lives, driving away the hurtful fumes and fogs of distrust and discontent, driving away the hurtful fumes and fogs of distrust and discontent. What do you expect of Jesus? What do you expect of Jesus? Come to him as the one who is perfect in mercy and perfect in judgment. In a hurtful and a hateful world, as you struggle with distrust and discontent, he is your balm. He is your comfort. He always brings the fragrance of his glory and his grace. Expect it. Would you stand with me? Please bow in prayer as I lead a prayer of confession of sin. Taken from the valley of vision, it is called Yet I Sin. Hear these words and make them your own. Eternal Father, you are good beyond all thought, but we are vile, wretched, miserable, blind. Our lips are ready to confess, but our hearts are slow to feel. And we are reluctant to amend our ways. We bring our souls to you, break them, mold them. Unmask to us the distortion of our sin that we may hate it and flee from it. Our hearts, minds, and bodies have been a weapon of revolt against you. We have misused our strength. We have served the enemy of your kingdom. We have seen the purity and beauty of your perfect truth and the happiness of those who live under your reign, yet we daily violate this. Your loving spirit strives within us, speaking to us through your revealed truth and the living word, yet we choose what hurts us and grieves him. We mourn. We lament. We cry pardon. We ask you to work a profound and abiding repentance in us. Give us a fullness of godly grief. Yet may we trust and love the Savior, who gives us power to overcome sin and confidence before you. Through tears of repentance, may we see more clearly the brightness and the glories of the saving cross. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'll ask the elders to come forward. As we prepare for the sacrament, hear the words of Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Past performance predicts future results. Past performance predicts future results. I searched that phrase this week online, and I learned that that is not necessarily true. Past performance does not always predict future results, at least with us. But it does with Jesus. We remember his past performance, and we expect future results. This is the start and the heart of the Lord's Supper. We eat and we drink and we recall Jesus' past performance. His perfect life, his atoning death, his victorious resurrection. Now the focus here is obviously on his death. Because he loved us. Because he loved us. He gave himself for us on the cross. So we could trust in him and be assured, have the expectation of the forgiveness of sins and new righteousness and the promise of everlasting life with him. So what lies in the future? In many ways, we don't know what to expect. But because of Jesus' past performance, we can anticipate his grace in our lives today and his welcome into eternal life tomorrow. Because he was left on the cross in the past, you can be sure he will not leave you anywhere in the future. The sacrament should encourage us. The sacrament should hearten us. The sacrament should lead us to rejoice that for all we do not know and for all that we cannot expect, we can expect to never be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, because his past performance predicts future results. If you are trusting in Jesus as Savior and Lord today, I invite you to join us as we eat and drink. This sacrament is for all who are united to Jesus by faith and united to one another in love. We have a couple of questions, as Matt mentioned in the bulletin, to help you think through whether you should eat and drink with us. We welcome all who are united with Jesus by faith and members of churches where he's been proclaimed as the only one who can save us. We also welcome you in the hope that you are at peace with your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. If you have any question about whether you should join us, I encourage you to take this time and to read the questions in the bulletin. If you decide not to eat and drink this morning, I encourage you to remain with us and to consider these issues, and even today, give your heart and your life and your future to Jesus. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we are prone to forget. We are prone to let the truths that set us free flee from our minds and hearts. And thus we become enslaved again to doubt and to fear and to so many other struggles. Thank you for this simple sacrament that reminds us of Jesus' past performance and secures us in the future results that we can expect. We come in sadness. We come in fear. We come in aggravation. We come in confusion. We come to the one who says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we eat and we drink and we find rest. May it be so. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, when he was betrayed on that night, took bread, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." As we've been doing the last couple of months, we have had gluten and dairy-free bread out on the table on the entryway into the sanctuary. If you did not get that and need it, there is some in the back, here in the back of the sanctuary. We will eat together after the bread has been distributed. With Jesus, past performance predicts future results. Take and eat. That night, Christ took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. Drink from it." We will again partake together, but as the cup is distributed, we will sing the words to the hymn, "Thy works not mine, O Christ." You may not know the words, but you will know the tune. Let's sing joyfully as we receive the cup. Are you sad? Are you fearful? Are you aggravated? Are you confused? Come to Jesus. We eat and we drink, O Lord, praying that your Holy Spirit would now renew our faith and reinvigorate our service to you, knowing that no matter what we face it with Jesus, who has lived and died and risen and now reigns. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the first Sunday of the month, so we will take the monthly mercy ministry offering for the work of the deacons. So I'll ask you to please remain seated as we begin our closing song, and you will be directed to stand near the end. Let's sing in response to the word and the sacrament. The Warm Springs team has landed. I'm sure they'll be alert and awake and come to Sunday school. But you will come to Sunday school. I do invite you to stay for that. We are going to start a six-week series on eschatology. Are we living in the last days? We'll see how that goes. But I also want to remind you, many of you know Dylan Shearer's class on trauma was very helpful, but also very disrupted by a lot of other things. And so Dylan has offered to go to this room into the back of the sanctuary here, and he's going to sit. And if he's lonely, that's okay. But if you want to just sit and talk with him for a little bit about just some of the issues raised by his class on trauma, he's going to be back there this week and next week, and he would be glad to just sit and have an informal conversation with you. If you'd like prayer this morning, Tom and Anita Dodd will be up front. Tom and Anita would be glad to pray with you. Receive then the Lord's blessing. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. May the Lord be with you all. Amen.